welcome. My name is Mike Hayes, and I'm the moderator for this evening. It was stated as a debate, but I think in talking with our guests tonight, it's going to be a nice discussion. Our guests are Bill London, a freelance writer, and Doug Wilson, who's pastor of Christ Church. The genesis for the discussion comes from controversy that has been going on in Moscow over a variety of issues, but beginning with a booklet published nine years ago,
1996.
And then made public here just recently, and which started quite a controversy here in Moscow, and quite a bit of heat has been generated in the newspaper and in cyberspace and various other places. And this was going to be a place where we could discuss calmly and rationally some of the issues that have been coming up around the controversy. And so this debate was proposed, and we're going to go forward. And the way this is going to be done is I'm going to moderate it, but all I'm going to do is sit here and make sure that nobody gets into a chokehold or eye gouging. And I have my 30-second card to keep people on track. But we're going to take questions from the audience. And the number was already given to you, but I'll restate it. The number here is 885-6392. And if you call in, we will put you through, and you'll be able to ask the question. And the question will then be fielded by each of the people here. A couple of things to remember. This is an attempt to have a nice rational discussion, and there has been quite a bit of heat. So when you pose your question, we ask that it be done in a calm, rational fashion. Also remember to turn down your radios so that as you ask the question, you don't get confused with what's coming on in your radio. So we're going to begin this with statements by Bill London and by Doug Wilson to begin. And we flipped the coin earlier, and Bill London won. So he's going to start off with a statement, and after the statements, we'll then take questions from the audience.
Thanks. This discussion is not about religion. We all have right to our religious beliefs. However, we also have the right to speak freely about our political differences. Doug Wilson is a political figure, and Christ Church has a political agenda. And we all have the right and the obligation to speak out about that agenda, especially since that agenda is detrimental to the community of Moscow and its inhabitants. From the books and other written material from Christ Church that I've read, I think it's clear that what the Christ Church leadership wants to establish is something they're calling medieval Protestantism, where there's a whole group of us peasants and a religious political elite that governs, where rights are available only to male heterosexuals who share their belief, their brand of Christianity. Gays are out, and all women are obedient and subservient. I believe that's their political goal. And again, this is why I say, or why this is what I say Christ Church has as a political agenda. And there's four reasons why I think there is a political agenda at work here. The first, take a look at the Christ Church website. They have a list of ministries on the website that include the Credenda Agenda magazine, which is distributed nationally, published here, and secondly, a nationally distributed book publisher called Canon Press, the book publisher that produced that book on slavery that was alluded to earlier. In both cases, the magazine and the book publisher produce political information furthering this political agenda. Second is evidence from Doug himself speaking on political topics. For example, on July 1st, 2002, he spoke before the Moscow City Council proposing and supporting a nudity ordinance representing the 850 members of his church. The third reason why I think Christ Church has a political agenda is its partnership with the Neo-Confederate group. Neo-Confederates are a political group in the American South with a similar kind of political agenda, theocratic agenda. Steve Wilkins, who is a minister in Louisiana and a leader of the Neo-Confederate movement, and Doug Wilson have been collaborating for about a decade. The book they wrote was in 1996, and they've attended conferences together, spoken at each other's churches, and in general been working together for about a decade with the goal, I believe, of making Moscow a haven for neo-Confederates. But really most significant, I think, and to answer the question is, does Christchurch have a political agenda, is to read part of a sermon that Doug Wilson delivered on the 28th of December, about a month ago. The focus of this paragraph is, why did Doug choose Moscow for his political goals? And I'm quoting, quote, "In the 60s, my father wrote a small but enormously influential book called The Principles of War. In it, he applied the principle of physical warfare to what he calls strategic evangelism. This idea of warfare is necessary in order to understand a central part of what is happening here, and by this I mean the concept of the decisive point. A decisive point is one which is simultaneously strategic and feasible. Strategic means that it would be a significant loss to the enemy if taken. Feasible means that it is possible to take. New York City is strategic, but not feasible. Beauville is feasible, but not strategic. But small towns with major universities, Moscow and Pullman, say, are both." Now this explains why the conflict is here. Unquote. And those are the reasons why I say that Christchurch has a political agenda. An agenda that we all need to understand and that we need to talk about.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to answer questions as they come in, and I'm grateful in addition for the opportunity to challenge those who raise questions that I think are illegitimate or just the product of misunderstanding, as I believe Bill's opening statement was. I'd like to go through a few fundamental things that I believe are at the heart of this controversy, and then I will, during the course of the questions, I trust that I'll be returning to these, and these may become themes in what I'm saying. The first thing is, I understand this entire conflict, is fundamental to this entire conflict, is the division between faith and unbelief. And by faith, I mean faith in God, I mean faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and faith in the Scriptures, as all conservative believing Christians do. Now, this goes right to the heart of the opening comments that Bill made, because we believe these facts, we believe these truths, we believe these Christian doctrines, and we believe them in public. We believe them in such a way that they have public ramifications and their public consequences to what we believe as Christians. But we do not believe that what we're doing in promulgating these things by preaching and teaching and persuasion and so forth are political in the sense of running for office and dictating to people that they must believe them. So one of the things we're going to have to do in the course of our discussion is define our terms. What do we mean political? But fundamental to this is the division between faith on the one hand and unbelief on the other. This has brought about a clash between conservative Christians and what I have begun calling the intoleristas. The intoleristas are, and I do this, I am reluctant to call many of the folks who've been opposing us liberals, because they're not being liberal, they're not being tolerant. What they're doing is exhibiting and sometimes ferocious intolerance of views that differ from theirs. The intoleristas have set up a situation where a fundamental public hypocrisy has taken place. And I would like to highlight a few of these areas of hypocrisy. Number one, in this conflict, in this debate, where we're looking at having our history conference protested and so forth, we have moral relativists protesting what we are saying and doing with a high degree of moral indignation. And this is, I would submit, incoherent. I have debated these issues over the last few months with a number of people and brought up this issue of moral relativism numerous times, and virtually all of the people I've debated on this subject are ethical and moral relativists. Well, if that's the case, then when you come to protest our conference, your sign should say something like, whatever, because moral relativism does not provide a bedrock for moral indignation, certainly not the level of moral indignation that we've seen here. But moral relativists are made in the image of God, and so they can't function without values. But given their moral relativism, they have to have values that are arbitrarily assigned. And yet even these arbitrarily assigned values that they hold dear, claim to hold dear, are being violated in this controversy. Arbitrary value number one would be tolerance, for example. Well, if you believe in real tolerance, where other people can believe and think and practice as they choose, then what this means is that you should let them do it. I don't see why people should be protesting our history conference any more than you should organize a protest outside a synagogue trying to get everybody in there to start eating ham sandwiches. Secondly, and this goes to Bill's comment on politics, another arbitrary value that is assigned by these folks is democracy. Well, what we are saying is that we want to present the gospel peacefully. We want to preach the gospel, teach people, bring up our children, leave other people's property alone. We want to live peacefully with our friends and with our neighbors, and we don't want to do anything that would violate their right to believe what they hold. And yet, as we have been peacefully practicing this, we are being described as a threat, and our voice has to be shut down. Third, one of the things that element in this that I think is inconsistent is most of the folks opposing us have a pacifistic turn of mind, and yet what has been created here is a climate of hostility that I've lived here since 1975, and I have never seen such bad attitudes and such a climate of hostility and such vitriol expressed against other people simply for differing. And this has created a climate of New St. Andrews has had its Christmas lights torn off the building repeatedly. Businesses associated with our church have been vandalized and so forth. And I know that leaders on the other side will say, well, we don't approve of this sort of thing. There was a letter to the editor tonight. But I know that they understand the argument that you can create a climate in which this sort of thing becomes acceptable. The last point that I want to make is that another arbitrary value that is being violated by the people who have assigned these things as values is the value of multiculturalism. If I were a Muslim from the Sudan, which practices slavery today, right? In the Sudan, slavery under Sharia law is practiced today. If I were a Muslim from the Sudan, and I were living here in Moscow, and John Ashcroft were after me, all the people who are protesting our conference would be surrounding me and patting me on the back and saying, I can't believe that Ashcroft is trying to get at you this way. I just read on the front page of the paper tonight that Raul Sanchez with the Office of Diversity at the University of Idaho was at the airport seeing off Sammy's wife, who is returning to Saudi Arabia, which outlawed slavery, incidentally, in the 1960s, not the 1860s, and gave her a gracious send-off. I can assure you that if Raul Sanchez were seeing me off at the airport, it would be in order to help others frog walk me to the jetway.
Great. thank you for your opening statements, and we'll go on to a question from a caller.
Go ahead, caller.
I was told that there was another caller before me.
No, go ahead. It's your turn.
Okay. I'd like to ask a question, and then if I could get a clarification from Doug Wilson on something that happened a while back. My question concerns a letter to the editor. Oh, and I should tell you, my name is Aaron Ament. I'm a Moscow resident, so I'll just do that. My question is on, someone to comment on the letter by Joe Moorcraft, the third, that appeared in the paper this week. It was fairly difficult to follow, but it seemed to say that Doug Wilson's views are not shared by members of his church. I was wondering if he could speak to that. And then I just had a clarification on the debate/lecture that happened with Mr. Church up at the University of Idaho, in that Doug Jones mentioned wrestling naked with his equal, knowing how you feel about women, knowing how you feel about homosexuals, I would just really like to know who he's wrestling with. And I will take my answer off the phone. Thank you.
Let me address the second part of the question by saying that I have no idea what the caller is talking about. And I was at the debate. I don't remember anything like that. But I would suggest you ask Doug Jones that. The first part of the question had to do with the letter from Joe Moorcraft. First, Joe Moorcraft is a minister in the RPCUS, which is a Presbyterian denomination, which is a separate denomination from the denomination of Christians that I'm part of, which is the Confederation of Reformed Evangelicals. And don't let the word confederation freak you out. It's an ordinary noun. So Confederation of Reformed Evangelicals, the CRE, is what I belong to. So Joe Moorcraft and I are not part of the same denomination. I did find it very interesting that Joe Moorcraft, who is and has been a national leader in the Christian Reconstruction movement, wrote a letter here in order to attack me and take sides with Bill. So I'm interested in these strange new alliances that are forming between Bill London and the Christian Reconstructionists.